Blog Talk Radio.
I have a fan.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barb, who's going to be on here soon. But until then, we have, now I'm going to put someone on, I think it might be Barbara.
Here.
Barbara, is that you?
Yes, I heard you say that, and I was here. Hi, everybody.
Oh, okay. Your number came up as unidentified. That's why I didn't know if it was you.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'm sorry I had that on.
But
okay, we'll change
but, you
the
know,
setting later.
We have Sunshine Frost on here tonight, and the thing I wanted to mention before we go further, Sunshine Frost is going to be on a cruise, and she's also going to be on a podcast called Next Level. And, you know, it's interesting. It seems like it's a thing now, psychics going on cruises. So are you right? I mean, is that common?
Oh, really? I haven't heard of this as a thing. Is it a thing? Is Sunshine on now?
She's on here.
Is Sunshine here
Hi,
with us
Barbara.
Right now? Hi,
yes,
Sunshine.
Yes, I am. Hi, Ms.
Oh,
Barbara.
Great.
How are you?
Great. I was so excited to have you on tonight. I always love having you on, and so do our listeners.
You know what? I love this podcast. Yeah, I'm going to be on Next Level Soul with Alex Ferrari. It's a big show. It's a great experience. And I tell you what, I got my start right here. So if anybody's listening to this and you're thinking about applying to a big podcast, start right here with Jonathan and Barbara. They will steer you in the right direction. They've got a fantastic group of listeners. If you're working your way up and you just want a wonderful podcast that is growing, and Jonathan Alexander is doing his Roku channels, and Miss Barbara, she's covering being the absolute best host all of Southern California. This is the place you want to be. Great family, great listeners, great podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ken. Congratulations.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Jonathan.
I didn't mean to come in the middle.
Congratulations.
Of that.
This is a big
thank you. You know, it's all about manifesting. You know, Barbara, you know about this. You've had dreams come true, and you know, I've had dreams
definitely
that are coming true. Yeah, and it's about
and
that.
So you really practice
mindset
manifesting.
Yes, you know, actually, Mr. Sunshine is going on the cruise with me. My husband is actually a shamanic healer, and he's going to be on the cruise with me. And he's actually in the studio today. So just say hello, Mr. Sunshine.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Sunshine. We're so glad to have you, of course, as well. I am taking a course right now in manifesting, magnetizing your dreams, and it's a year-long course. So,
yes,
I'm all in with that. And I've done it many times, but this course helps you even tap into it even more. And I know you guys, I mean, it's all positivity with you guys, and that's a big part of it.
Yeah, 3 years ago, Alex Ferrari actually does Next Level Soul podcast. It's one of the largest podcasts in the world for near-death experiencers and spiritual academia and metaphysical phenomena and things like that. He covers a lot of topics, and I had actually put his picture in a frame about 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I said to him, one day I'm going to go on that show. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, one day. I mean, you know, they have some great, great. Billy Carson has been on the show. Everybody that's done The Secret, Rhonda Byrd, the Chicken Soup for the Souls. So there's a lot of people. And you know, that positive manifesting, at the time that I put it in the frame, just like you had your dreams, Barb, just like you have yours, Jonathan, of that actual TV station coming
yes
into reality, I just had to really believe it. And, of course, you have to do more than just think it. You have to work toward it every day. So staying consistent and positive. I'm excited to see what you're going to do, both of you. All three of us, actually, are going to do this year.
Yes. Well, thank you. It's just making your dreams come true. And people don't realize how important it is to really even just look in your mirror work. Look into that mirror and tell yourself positive things every day and do your vision board with what you desire, not even
yeah,
want,
so
that you feel like you already
it
have
do you journal?
It.
Do you journal?
Yes,
this
that's
far?
Part
do
of
have
it,
you
too.
Journaling daily?
They do, yes.
Yeah, so,
maybe
you know, you guys know The Secret.
You on that,
have you read The Secret, Miss Barb?
I've read
yes,
it.
Yes, I have.
Well, I've saw the movie.
I have it.
Yeah, the movie's great, and it's still free. You guys can find that on. If anybody's listening and they don't know what we're talking about, if you've been under a spiritual rock, it's been about 10 years
right.
since The Secret came out. And then we have The Power, and there's every spinoff in the world has come from The Secret. But Joe Vitale, who is a metaphysicist, was one of the original founders of the Emerald Tablets and The Secret, and bringing that to the masses and helping people realize their dreams were within their reach if they would change their mindset, you know?
Yes.
So I told
wow,
my husband
so
about
this is our
a year
first
ago.
Topic today.
Yeah.
Because
I
we're
told
all
my
on the same
a year
page
ago
about it.
That we would go, what did I tell you about The Secret, honey?
We would go to a trip or a seminar.
I said, one day I'll be teaching This Secret at a seminar. And he said, you think so? And I go, I know it. And sure enough, in May
wow.
of this year, I just got booked in Temecula, not almost very near you, Miss Barbara, to book to actually teach the Love Letters to the Universe, which is about journaling what you truly want to happen at any age. Every woman thinks their life is over after 40, and a lot of men believe their life is over after 50, and I say that your best life is what is yet to come. It really is, and I'm actually going to be teaching this course in front of Joe Vitale, who wrote The Secret. So I'm actually going to be teaching it at his event as a panel expert. That is a dream come true. So no matter how big your dreams are, it can happen. 100% it can happen.
Wow, this is really amazing, but I am not surprised at all because they are so lucky to have you, Sunshine. You are dynamic. And everybody
excited,
who comes
you know?
Across you knows that. You're going to be a household
Thank
name.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I can't change it. It feels great. It feels good. I just want to be a hope to people in their second life. You know, I think we all feel good at 18. We go out with fire in our bellies, and we think we're going to take on the world. But it's not so easy once maybe you've been knocked down a few times. You know, for me, I'm actually on my second marriage. I have 4 children. At one point in my life, I was on welfare. I didn't even have a job anymore. I was left behind after 15 years of marriage. I was, you know, living in a very, very deserted mindset. I didn't have a job. I had all these children, and I thought my life was over. I was over 35, and I just really didn't realize that you can have a brand new life, and it really is all within your reach if you change your mindset and change the story you tell yourself and change the victimization and quit retelling what people have done to you and start telling what you can do for yourself. Everything can change.
Yes, and not only that, but even if you don't feel that way, but most do when they age, that their life's over, what if they've reached so many goals and then they just don't know what to do next? They have to search for the next thing, the challenge, the goal. Sometimes they just
yes.
don't know if they've already reached so much. So
Done
I think that is some people's problem. And then this course and what you teach and it really pulls out and it brings out to the surface of, like, it helps you figure out what path to take, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. I think just like you're – remember, we talked about a year ago, Ms. Barb, about how your intuition was growing. And now with this eclipse, you know, I predicted the earthquake in New York. I predicted the Maui fires. I predicted the COVID pandemic. And I did a recent prediction about the floods. About 2.5 months ago, I said, there's going to be flooding all over. People go, how do you know? And I said, because the universe is really always talking to us, but it's up to us to tune in to that frequency and get our mind quiet enough to be able to hear all that's really happening. And when you're really looking like you, Barbara, you've done so many accomplished things. And I've done many things that I'm just starting out to do. When we get to that point, we just have to listen. The universe is really always ready. It's always ahead of you. You can never outrun the universe. You can never outdream, outgoal, or outaccomplish the universe because you have guides and angels that are right there with you, 2 or 3, 5 steps ahead, always ready to bless you with abundance. They're always ready to give you a new love, new health, a new experience that's going to help you grow in the depth of your character. So, yeah, absolutely. Just listen. Learn to listen and let go of the past and really open yourself up to what the universe and what your angels, your God squad, I call it, what are they trying to say to you?
Well, what if you have a tough customer and they say, well, I'm not seeing a sign. I don't get it. I'm seeing nothing. What would you first tell them?
Yeah. Well, my husband was that guy. Mr. Sunshine's like a very, he's a sun Leo like you. He's a sun sign Leo. He's accomplished so much in his life, and now he's 58 this year, and so he's going, well, I've accomplished my whole life. I've already done everything I wanted to do in my life. What do I do? And I go, you create a new you. So he's planning on retiring, you know, at some point. And I tell him, what did you want to do when you were a child? And that's what I coach people on a lot. I just got back from a conference in Austin where I taught this. But we ignore the inner child to grow up, to become what society conforms us to be. We construct, we need to have a kid or a wife or a husband or a job or a career. And then we do that, right? We do that career in exchange for money. And we trade our time and our efforts and our imagination for the money someone else pays us. What happens to that inner child dream is that it kind of crumples away, fades away, or gets thrown in a drawer. And when people have finally accomplished the majority of their goals, I ask them, what did you want to really be? That's the first question I ask, Barbara. And Jonathan, what is it you wanted to be when you were a child? That's the first one. And what did you want to be, Miss Barb, when you were a kid? Yeah, what would you, if I was going to put you on the spot, what would you say? Yeah,
okay, put me on the spot. I wanted to be a model and I wanted to be a dancer, and I've done both to the fullest potential and reached all my goals with it. So, see, there
Perfect.
You go. I don't know. So what's next?
So the second question I would ask, right, exactly, that's why I used you first, because I know you'd reach so many potentials. The second part of this would be, what would you do if you weren't going to get paid? What would you do in your life? What would you spend your time and your money and your freedom on if you weren't going to get paid? What would you do? And it takes people a while. This is the part where it kind of gets
a
little bit harder. Because they got to really go inside and go, what would I do? Well, I kind of like to paint, but I'm not real good at it. And I go, well, who is the decider of that? How do you know you're not good at it? My husband loves bulldogs. He would be a bulldog breeder or something, you know.
I like golf.
I go, well, whatever. Yes, exactly. So some people love animals. Some people really love to be outdoors, and maybe they would become an outdoor photographer. Maybe they would like to travel more, and they could actually do a travel blog. And people don't realize we don't need all just 19-year-old travel vloggers. We need seniors. We need retirees. We need single women. We need single men. We need families. We want to see a slice authentically of everyone's life living in joy, because we all get joy from seeing others succeed and be happy, not in just a material way, but in a way where you can see their happiness.
Wow,
some
I like
people
the way you
start,
got about it.
Yeah, some people start, they say, well, I love cats. And I go, well, why don't we start a cat rescue? Why don't you start a nonprofit? And they go, well, I can't do that. And I go, well, who's deciding that, you or the outside world telling you? Because what voice is this that's already starting it and stopping it before it reaches a successful point? So,
exactly.
Yeah, I do tell people, what would you do if you weren't going to get paid? Because that's what you should focus your passion is what – when you're passionate about anything – you will. That is the literal gasoline in the vehicle. So if I give you a car, Johnny, and I say, here's this amazing car, but I don't give you the keys and I never put gas in the tank, how good is that car sitting in your driveway looking really, really good?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it looks good, but I wouldn't be the one driving it. I would probably hire a driver. I can't drive. But I see your point, though. It wouldn't look any good. You're right.
So I might give you the keys, which is like, well, you can have a driver, but then I don't give you any gas. You're not going to get too far.
Or if you give
so
me
I
a driver.
Yeah, so let's say we give you a driver, Johnny, but there's no gas. That is where the passion is. So we first have to know where we're going to drive to. So if we don't know where we're going, we'll never know when we arrive, or we'll go in circles trying to find it. Number two, we definitely have to have gasoline. Yes, right, Miss Barbara? Gasoline in the car.
You are a great
coach.
Because I've asked a lot of people how they, you know, figure out what is their passion. If you don't have a passion, that is, I always thought, kind of sad, because I've always been passionate about several things in life. And one day, this lady, this director of a business I was involved with, said, you know, you're so lucky because you have a passion. She goes, I have no passion for anything. And I've always wanted to have passion. I've always wanted to have passion for something. So, wow, you.
I'm sure she did.
Too bad she didn't know
you. I'm sure she did. You know, I didn't have passion. I did not have passion for being a psychic medium. I never in 100 years would have thought that my life would be as a psychic medium, clairvoyant. I never thought this is what I would do. I went to medical school. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was a paramedic. I have a very scientifically based brain, and I kind of ignored this whole, what I consider to be mumbo jumbo, hippie type of lifestyle. I thought it was for people without education that just wanted to counsel people without getting a degree. And to be honest, I was pretty harsh on the whole industry because it's unregulated. And so I found myself with passion for it and decided that I wanted to and here I am. So I wanted to make it better because I saw a lot of false readers and I saw a lot of people taking advantage of those that were suffering. And I just kind of fell into this job almost accidentally.
Sunshine, we have a caller. Would you like to take a caller?
Barb, what do you think? Should I finish this little story, or do you want me to go ahead and take a call?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
touch on. I'm on the edge of my seat to hear the rest of the story, and I think the caller will be listening to it just like I am.
Let me know.
Yeah. So I actually worked in the medical field. I worked in the medical field, and I did surgery. So I was the operating room technician and a first assistant, and I was working on a surgery with an 11-year-old boy. And he was having his tonsils and adenoids removed, and he had a very rare, unusual, unpredictable reaction to anesthesia, which is called malignant hypothermia. And this little boy died within about the first 4 minutes of our surgery. He had an allergic reaction to the anesthetic, and he had a cardiac arrest. We tried everything we could do to save him. We could not save him. It was very devastating because he was only 11. He was also severely autistic and handicapped, which I didn't know that because when they're in surgery, they're asleep. So unless they have, and I don't see their face either, by the way. There's a surgical sheet between me and them so that we're in a sterile field, and only the anesthesiologist or the nurse anesthetist would be able to see their face. Well, after this, I had seen, to be honest with you guys, when I was scrubbing in, I had seen a light. The sinks were metal, and I remember thinking there was an orb out of the side of my vision that floated up beside me and went into the OR. I thought, man, that's weird. I must be seeing things because it wasn't common for me to see orbs at that time. I had never really knew what it even was. So I went into surgery when this little boy had passed away. I was out behind the building in this little pavilion they had for the smokers and for those that were taking a little lunch break outside for the faculty of the hospital. And I was pretty shook up. I was kind of crying a little bit, thinking, man, what if this was my child? I only had a little baby at that time. He was only a few 15 months old or something. And I could see the front entrance of the emergency room where there's usually that cover over the ambulances pull up or staff pulls up or even patients will pull up. And there's a covered area right by the doors of the emergency room. And I could hear this woman. It was a Hispanic woman, and the child was a Hispanic, you know, male. And I could hear a woman breaking down. And as she started sobbing, leaving the hospital, I knew it was his mother just because of the passion and the sadness and the pure terror in her voice. And I could hear her voice echoing underneath this car cover. And I felt an instant urge from the Holy Spirit because I'd always been a Christian my whole life. I'd always went to church and been a really strong faith-based Christian that did not believe in this type of lifestyle at all. And I had a very strong urge for the Holy Spirit to go over and talk to her. And I'm like, what am I going to say to her? so I just keep getting this urge pulling me away. And so I kind of, out of curiosity, walked over to the edge so I could see around the corner of the building. I was probably about 20 yards away, and I could see that she has a son with her that's about 15 or 16. That's the older brother, I'm sure, of this young man that had passed away. His name was Nathan. And I could see him comforting his mother. And she's an older, maybe 35 to 37-year-old woman, you know, a little Hispanic, probably Mexican lady. And she's speaking Spanish. So I go, well, that's it. She's speaking Spanish. I can't understand her. She can't understand me. So I'm not going over there. And I made the attempt to turn back around and walk back to where I was at. Pushed me. I've never been pushed by a spirit like that. The Holy Spirit just made me go totally still. And I could feel the urge, because I've had this urge to go up to the altar, give my life to Christ. I raise my hands in church. I pray. I sing out loud. I worship. I'm really active as a worshiper. So I knew this feeling was like a warm feeling in my heart, and a feeling that I needed to deliver comfort to this woman. And that it's like basically I couldn't give comfort to this child, but I could give the comfort to his mother. So I stopped in my tracks. And I didn't move for about 4 or 5 seconds. And I just said, okay, God, I don't know what I'm going to say. And I turn back around and I start walking toward the woman. And at this time, I see a man crossing the parking block. And he's crossing over this median that separates the emergency room. He steps over and I see the woman like kind of walking toward him, almost running to him, and then right in the middle of the driveway of the emergency room. The husband, she collapses in his arm, just crying, you know, like, my God, he's dead. I know what she was saying now. At the time, I didn't, but the hair on my body stood up, and my skin, like, had enormous goosebumps hearing her scream for her baby, who was no more. It was just so devastating, and the son was trying to comfort the mother, and he was trying to be strong, and so I'm like, what am I doing? I feel like I don't have any business. I'm dressed in my scrubs. I have a coat over my scrubs. I'm like, I have no business talking to them. I'm A, not a nurse. B, I'm not hospital staff. I'm not a doctor. I have zero rights by HIPAA policy. I have no rights to talk to her. And actually, I probably shouldn't be talking to her. But I decide, because the Holy Spirit was pushing me so strong, it was constraining me to go speak to her. So I walk up. And I'm thinking, none of them speak English. And the son, I said, I'm so sorry. It takes the son a minute to realize I'm there. And the boy, like I say, he's about 16. He looks at me in the face, and I go, I'm so, so sorry, but I just received a message I wanted to give to your mother. So he's like telling his mom, stop, listen. And he starts relaying everything I said in Spanish. And the Holy Spirit just put these words in my mouth. It said, I have to tell you, your son is okay. And the whole time I'm doing this, my stomach is in knots. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm like, what am I saying right now, you know? But I tell her, I said, your son is okay. What were you going to say, Ms. Barb?
Wow. No, I'm just saying, yes, I understand it would be in knots. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, I felt so awkward. I felt like I had no right to intrude upon such a private, emotional moment, such a traumatic time for their family. I can't imagine what they're going through. And I felt really embarrassed to walk over to them. And they're looking to me like I'm the doctor, because I know I'm not. I'm dressed in scrubs. And like I said, I have zero right to be over there. And they're hoping for me to tell them something different. So I actually took my hairnet off and put it in my pocket, so I realized I didn't want them to think I'm the doctor. And I said, you know, I'm not the doctor, but I was present when your son had his experience. I didn't say died. And he's telling him, listen. So as soon as he tells the mom this, the mom, she perks up and looks at me. Her face is all red. You know, her eyes are crying. And the father she's gripping her husband and gripping her son. And I said, I just need to tell you your son is okay. Well, she's kind of thinking I'm saying he's alive, which I misworded it and should not have said that. So she starts almost jumping up and down. And I said, no. I'm not saying your son is alive. I'm saying that your son is okay. So he explains it again, and she puts her head in her hands, and she starts to cry again. And I said, no, please listen to me. When I was scrubbing into surgery, so I started doing the visuals of me scrubbing my hands, I saw a light pass behind my right side into the room where your son was going to be. So she begins to listen again. I said, when your son began to have his experience and we realized his heart had stopped, I saw a light come out of the actual light above us, because in a surgical suite, there's a light above you, a very big, large, disc-shaped light with a handle with a cover on it that the doctor can move around to see as he's proceeding with surgery. I saw the handle, and I saw the light be pulled down so he could see into his mouth. He had goggles, of course, and things on like that. But I saw a light ball, a ball of light, come out of the lamp and go into your son's mouth about 30 seconds before his heart stopped. And I saw two balls of light come out of his mouth and go up to the ceiling.
Wow.
And she was like, what? Like, you know, looking at me. They're all looking at me like, what are you saying? And I'm thinking, God, what am I saying? Right about this time, I said, I felt a woman come stand directly behind her with her son in his arms, in her arms, like with her arm around him. And I said, your mother is here and she has your son. And she starts screaming. And I thought, oh my God, I've done it. I've killed this woman dead. What have I done? I thought for sure I had just given her a heart attack. And she drops down. The husband grabs her underneath her shoulder, her arms to hold her up. And he says, oh my God, you don't understand. Her mom passed of cancer a week ago and now she's lost her son.
Oh
boy.
Wow, but they're together though, and you confirmed they were together.
Yeah, it was like, even to this day, I still tear up every time. I don't tell that story much, but when I do, you can hear it in my voice. It breaks my professional demeanor down because she grabbed me and she started hugging me and thanking me and thanking me, and the son thanked me because that was her biggest fear, is that her son died alone. She told me, they told me he was severely handicapped and that he was afraid to go into surgery, and his mom had talked him into it because he kept getting sick with these adenoids and tonsils. He couldn't eat. He was having a lot of problems. And so her knowing that her son was okay and with her mother was what she needed to be able to move forward. And after that day, I started to receive messages almost spontaneously at gas stations and never when I was at home. It was always when I was in public. So I refused to give the messages for probably another 2 years because I was the mom of young children, and I just didn't want to be bothered with trying to approach strangers in weird places to give messages. And because I was a Latter-day Saint, I was a Mormon and a Christian, I really felt like so shunned. This was not going to be acceptable in any format with my religious beliefs, so I really suppressed it completely. Suppressed it until I realized that I wanted to give readings. A friend of mine's child died of cancer at St. Jude's, and so I began to offer readings to only families that had lost a child at St. Jude's for free. I didn't charge anything for it, and I did my first 2 years of readings 100% only for families that had lost children to cancer, because I felt like that was my calling. And it was. And like we're talking about, my passion is never to be famous as a medium or to be famous as a psychic. It's just to make the brokenhearted mend and know that there is a path and their children are not alone and that heaven is made for children. And that was why I got into this. And everything else after that is just, icing on the cake, I guess.
Yes, and you never know what traumatic experience or negative or downfall or anything downward, what that is going to bring. They're teaching that to me, that going through a struggle, you never know the meaning of it. Now, look at how many people you've probably changed their lives, comforted them to where they thought they were going to die too, just of a broken heart, and just the comfort and the knowing that their loved one's okay, in a better place actually, and not alone. That is, you were meant to be there. I mean, that was the purpose of you being there when that happened.
I agree. You know, I, like I say, it started little and I just gave a few, and then people would say, well, can you talk to the living, not just those that have transitioned? And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I want to know if I should get this job. And so I went into a deep place of fasting and prayer, and I basically asked them, okay, if you want to give me a message, don't confuse me. Make this part a yes in my body and this part a no, and make this part man and this part woman, And then if it's behind me, show me where behind is and show me where in front of me is. And I just focused on that for probably a year, just tuning my body so that when I – this is now I do 150,000 sessions. I do 40 to 50 sessions a night on TikTok and on YouTube. I never see my clients. If you've ever watched my show, Jonathan's watched my show many times.
Right, yes.
I don't see my clients.
I see you a lot.
Do my readings through a text. Yeah, I do my readings through text message. So I can't be physically present with them. I don't know if they're black or white, male or female. I don't. The only thing I ever ask anybody is, what is your age and what is your sign? I don't care what their sign is, but it's my way of getting their particular energy signature separate from every other millions of energy signature. They're like, to me, when I'm in a room on TikTok or somewhere, it's like cobwebs, and everybody has one little string attached to them that's trying to attach to me. And I'm trying to pick through thousands of these little silk cobwebs of energy to find the one that I'm wanting to connect with. So when I ask a person their name, okay, that just eliminated half the cobwebs. Then I ask them their age, that eliminated maybe three times more. Then I ask their sign, and that seems to be just, it wouldn't matter what three questions. I could say, what is your name? What's your name? But I already know your name, but what's your name? Answer me as if you don't know.
Barbara.
And what's your favorite color?
Green.
And what's your favorite food?
Peanut butter.
Cheesecake. No, peanut butter, okay.
But I can't live without peanut butter.
Yes, it's so good. But it's like it's three questions, but if I ask random questions, then it would be so random that the results wouldn't be as consistent. So when I have sometimes hundreds of people in my room, and when I ask these three questions, I'm able to kind of pick out that one little tiny golden thread of energy that is just individually unique to them, and then I just follow that cord, and I ask God, I do a prayer to say, give me the information that is for their highest and best good. And so I'm able to just read for people all over the world about different things, and I never know. That's why I love my job, because it's kind of like when I was a paramedic. It was a different call every time. Nothing was – it was always a different scenario, different age person, different race, different weight, different diseases. You never knew why the call was coming through. So for me, it keeps up a lot of excitement, and I love helping people. I just love helping people, and I get to see that they're like, oh, my God, I got the job. Oh, my gosh, I got the job, or I went to the doctor, you told me, and now they did diagnose me with this diabetes, so now I can get treatment. Or I just feel like God is constantly blessing us, and the universe, let's say the universe, right, without being religious, the universe is always talking if we can tune in and begin to just listen. Everything. Your God squad is always ready to help and assist you at any time if we can slow down our needs, desires, and ego enough to listen to it.
And is it really important to get out and see nature every single day?
Oh, my God. Every single day. But some people can't. I have a lot of clients from Canada, and I'm actually going to Europe next year on another cruise. We're going to Ireland, England, and Norway, which is where I'm from. I actually am a Nordic practitioner. So
are you
generally,
from
generally,
Norway?
I'm American,
Norway?
But I'm Nordic. Yes,
What is your heritage? Did you do the DNA?
I'm Nordic. I'm from Norway.
100%?
Like Norway and Sweden. That's 97%. 97.9% Scandinavian.
You sure look like it. I'm half Nordic and half English with 3% Iberian, which surprised me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my husband
and
is the Dane,
England.
And I'm the Nord. Yeah,
I know,
I
but
was surprised,
you're so blonde.
I'm so tall, too.
Epitome of
a Nord. I'm almost 6 foot, and I'm about 180 pounds. People think, oh, she's very small, but I'm not. I just look like that in photos because I'm really proportionate. And when they meet me to take pictures in person, yeah, and my heels, I'm 6 foot too. My husband's 6'2", and when I wear heels, I'm right above him. I'm right at 6'3", so yeah, I'm really tall too.
Oh, I love it.
They see me sitting down. Everybody sees me on my show. I'm sitting down like a talk show host. So they don't. When they met me in Austin, they're like, you really are tall. I did not realize you were such a tall person.
No, I thought you were like me, like 5'5 or 5'6. I literally would never have thought that. You are proportioned then. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really proportionate. Like I wear a size 10 shoe and I have like 34-inch long pants. I'm just a really – I'm a bigger – I'm like the same size as a tiny person, just bigger proportions. And so they're like, that doesn't surprise me that you're Nordic. That does not surprise me at all.
No, not at all. So that's great that you get to go back there to your homeland, really. Have you been there? Have you traveled through there before?
Never. I have never had the – this was something I manifested as well, Barb. I wrote it in my letters to the universe. I call it love letters to the universe. I have a special journal I write in, and I write all the things that I want to happen, and I write them with a specific formula. I've been doing this for years, but I did the formula wrong. And I was in a deep meditation, and I was told if I would change my formula that I would get into the flow. And when you're in the flow, everything is possible and kind of everything happens.
Well, I'm
going to
tune in
to
find out what that is. I want to find out that formula.
Oh, you should.
Yeah,
I'll tell you
what, listen. I'm having a hard time with writing
I will
it.
Help
I don't
you.
Like
I will
it,
coach
doing
you.
It.
I will coach you off air privately. I will offer you a free, complete free session. I will get you through that because I do a lot of that coaching for other mediums and psychics that want to go from a small income, mom and pop, you know, a mom working part time, into maybe a six digit income earner, because having a six figure life is never by chance and it's never by accident. It's a plan. It takes passion. It takes providing a value to others. It takes being ethical. It takes having good business practice and believing in what you do. If you have those things and you maintain them consistently, you will become a success, a really, really sought-after, well-known, successful person.
Well, thank you very much, and I will take you up on that. And I also want to tell you something that really helps me from psychics. I feel like psychics give people so much hope. You know, sometimes people wait till the last thing to, you know, that's the last thing they do is call a psychic when it should be one of the first things they do, you know. And
I always say that I talk to everybody on their worst day.
Yeah, you do say that, huh? I am right about that.
I literally, I have a shirt that says I make people cry. That's like an actual friend in my friendly shirt. It said I make people cry, and then it said sunshinefrost.com, because people will ask me,
that's
they'll come
so
up to
cute.
Me, and they'll go like, what does your shirt mean? And I go, I'm a medium, and they go, oh, my, they start crying. The minute I say, I go, I'm a clairvoyant medium, and they go, oh, my God, are you really? And like before I even, they start to cry. They're like, I've always wanted to talk to, you know, A, B, and C or so-and-so. Or they'll run away from me. The other reaction I get is they go, what is that? And I go, oh, I talk to those that have trans. I could say I talk to dead people, but no people are ever dead. Not those here, not those there. Nobody dies. It's an illusion of death.
Think.
We just, yeah, nobody dies. I mean, we're so unnecessarily unhappy, and it's crazy. I think 90% of my work, because people say, like, you work with the dead every day. Yes, I work with murders, suicides. I work with drug overdoses, car crashes, cancer patients. I mean, I work with literally probably the most morbid job besides, you know, I get to do the job of actually putting the pieces back together when these families are broken by tragedy. And to me, it's a love letter of peace. It's the things that I get to tell the families is like the last love letter to them from their loved ones for the things they didn't get to say. They didn't get the goodbye. They didn't get the I love you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean what I said. I should have stayed. You were the love of my life. I'm sorry for the divorce. Thank you for taking care of my son. I should have been there. Those messages are life-changing, and I would never change what I do. I love it so much, and if I never made a dollar, I would still continue to do just what I do.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful, and that is a good thing to think about when you're trying to figure out your passion, if it doesn't come to you and you already have reached a lot of goals. Those things, and look at the little kid in you. Remember the 7-year-old Barbara, you know?
I wanted to be a doctor. I always wanted to be a doctor, and now I'm the spirit doctor, and I'm actually working on my doctorates this year, so I actually will be a doctor by next time when I come on the show. Hopefully I will be a doctor
so
next
wonderful.
Year by this time, so... I'm pretty excited, but that's what
things.
I always wanted.
All of your little things
that?
Are cute. Your
you know, I think it's funny because so there is a person that I'm going to be giving a channel to, and she really, really, really reminds me of you. She has a church, and she's got, like, tons of people in the church. And on the 15th of this month, she is defending her doctorate. And I immediately said to her, I said, because I try to think of people in the network, because you're on the network, that I could introduce her to that would allow her to collaborate. And I immediately thought, Sunshine Frost. You know, she is a lot like you.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. And Johnny's living out a passion now. I mean, he's really doing everything he can to get to where he wants. He educates himself. He signs up for courses. I really have noticed that about you, Johnny. And
oh, wow.
It's happening. Yeah.
It is. I've noticed so much growth with him in the last 3 years alone. The last 3 years, really major growth. And I think everybody is. Even this portal. You know, there was so much doomsday fear over this eclipse, but there was a huge portal that opened for people to manifest. So between now and August, you'll be able to manifest more of your destiny, more of your dreams and creative abilities if you do it right now than the last 3 years had in it in totality.
Are you saying that to me or are you saying that to everybody?
I'm saying it to everybody that hears this message
okay.
for now and in the future.
Wow.
Decluttering
well.
My place really helped, and now I'm doing the feng shui. We're on the feng shui chapter of the course, and I find it to be very interesting when you have a flow in your home and your environment. That really helps,
yes.
doesn't it, Sunshine?
It does. I do feng shui. We are opening a healing retreat center here in Southern California. We'll be opening that in July of this year, and feng shui is one of the most important things that we do is we have an eastern, we call it the money wall, which is the east. I do the main wall in a darker red or burnt sienna in the south for communication, friendship, and protection. Then in the west, I have a beautiful golden wall, which represents going west for opportunity, and then the north wall is usually purple or some variation for higher consciousness. And there is quite a flow. If you have clutter, anything that has clutter has residual energy. So absolutely. We do home clearings. My husband and I go around Southern California. We clear homes, and he's a healer. He's an amazing healer. And he will actually, we'll go in there and clean people's houses, and we tell them, you have to mechanically clean the clutter because this is all residual energy sitting in these corners and collecting from exes, from just having collections of stuffing their houses with too much things. But feng shui, super important.
What about some photos of people who are past? Somebody told me they came into my house and they said, oh, you shouldn't have all those. It's just going to take you back every time you walk by them and look at their photo back to memories. Well, I actually don't feel sad every time I see the photo.
Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to give an opinion on that, but I'll tell you what Spirit has told me. I will not personally give an opinion because I will rather give you what Spirit has told me in multiple sessions, hundreds of thousands of sessions, okay? Probably out of 100,000 sessions, 30,000 people that have come through in session work have told me they bring up their photos in almost every session, literally. They'll say to me, oh, my picture broke. I just did a woman actually here in Menifee. She's a doctor. Her husband's a doctor. She's a lawyer. And they had us come to their house to clean the energy. She couldn't figure out why she's feeling depressed or whatever. So I did a reading for her in her living room, and I told her, it's a $1 million house. And I said to her, there's a woman here, and she's like a mother to you. She was your grandmother. She goes, yes. And I said, and she told me that you moved into this house, I don't know, so many months ago, and the house is beautiful. Mind you, but in the office, she said she never put my picture up. It's in a box, and she's never put my picture out. And I can't really connect to her in this home because she's never allowed me to, because she kept saying, I don't feel my grandmother anymore. You know, I didn't know her grandma had passed, but once I mentioned it, she said, I don't feel her energy anymore the way I used to. And I don't know why. And I said, well, you haven't invited her into this home to become a guardian or a spirit, you know,
I want to say this lightly, not a scary ghost. It's a guardian spirit or spirit guide to help her in those times of need or distress. When you need a little extra energy, that's what they give to you. And so sure enough, she went in that box the next day and they found the picture in the garage in the box, just as the spirit had told her. And when she put the picture up, I told her, dust the picture frame off, put a candle and ask the white light of the Holy Spirit to bless the picture and that to invite that spirit of her grandmother to be present when she needs her. Sure enough, she said, no problem. So spirits do really love to be acknowledged. And unless there is a negativity around that person's photograph, like a really traumatic childhood experience, I actually think it's really positive to put the pictures of our loved ones. And actually the Latino cultures with the Day of the Dead have this correct. And the Asian cultures as well do a lot of these shrines and things where they honor their ancestors. And so does the India, the Pranic culture from India, as well as all over the world. They honor their ancestors and their elders. And we in America are pretty much the only ones that have disconnected from this tradition. And actually, I think we're suffering a lot from our disconnection from our ancestors, because they're here to help us. They are still watching over you. Your life is like days of their lives to those that have crossed over, because they're not having any stress and drama up there. We have all the stress and drama down here. They like to tune in for a couple hours a day and see what the reality show of your life looks like.
They do.
They don't. Yeah, they don't.
What if they're crying?
If you're crying, they're with you.
They don't come if you cry and you're so sad.
That's not true. That is not true.
No?
That's not true. Absolutely. That's a misteaching. That comes from a religious belief from a long time. It's a very old wives' tale that you can't cry. Well, there is some truth, and I'll tell you the difference. When you cry in those moments, they are allowed to be with you to give you energy. However, if you're crying over them and your presence, like let's say that a husband dies and the wife loses the husband. The wife may cry and cry and cry and cry and cry, but every time her husband tries to come near her in spirit, it restarts the grieving process, because what happens is her energy and his energy begin to touch again. So for a moment, she feels relieved of grief, but when he pulls away again, it expounds the grief. If his presence makes her worse off, then her guardian angels will not let him visit her until she can get her vibration up. Because there's a spiritual law that says spirit is never allowed to drain you. And for spirit to manifest in the physical world, they have to use humans as a battery. So when you live in a place with a lot of spirit energy, you'll have physical symptoms like headaches, nausea, weird smells, sometimes weird dreams. This doesn't always mean it's bad energy. If there's negative energy in a home, you'll really have nightmares, children will have sleep disturbances, headaches, stomach aches, foul smells, weird sounds. That's different. I'm just saying, like, if you have a spirit energy, a home where there's a lot of energy, or you've been crying over a person a lot, or you go to a place where someone committed an act of violence or something against themselves or others, that will be like a physical drain on your battery. So your guardian angel's job is to protect you at all costs, to get you through your life path. And if that person that you love is actually draining your energy by visiting you, then the visitations will stop, and the only way they'll be able to visit with you is in your dreams.
Okay. I feel like my mom is here, and I really don't grieve heavily like that over her. I feel like she is
is alive.
She's come to me.
Yeah, she's look, I always tell people like this, there is no death. Death is an illusion of the body, and the only reason we're afraid of it is because our ego tells us to be afraid, because the ego can't go to heaven. So only the spirit goes to heaven. The spirit is not your body. You're separate. You are the spirit within your body. The body is just a vehicle, and, you know, we change vehicles throughout our eternal life, I guess you could say.
How do we know how many lives we've had? And I mean, do you believe in that?
You know,
reincarnation?
Weirdest thing about that is that's another thing that I never believed in. I thought was absolute hocus pocus. I thought it was pagan ancient religions. I didn't believe in it. I was very diehard. It's impossible. We live one life. The scriptures say we live once, we die once, we're appointed to be judged. until I started having people coming through saying, well, we were in a life together. And I'm like thinking, I'm not telling my client this. But then sure enough, over the years, I began to have enough of this. I mean, probably 50,000 cases where a client would come to me because they had a fear, a phobia, or a disease, sickness, or illness, or their child had that, and they wanted to know where it came from. And every single time, Spirit would tell me very clearly, this came from this. This is what happened in the last time they were here. And every single time it was validated. I mean, with a 99%, 9% accuracy rating. When people have had
exciting.
A message. Yeah, I don't do past life regression. I don't do past life regression, and I can say that not every client has ever needed to access that information. I don't go into the Akashic and read huge records of the Akashic to find out everything, because what Spirit has told me, Barbara and Jonathan, is that most people's problems are related to their current life. And so no matter, you don't always have to go back, if you know what I'm saying. What you're dealing with right now, your cheating boyfriend and your bad habits, they're not necessarily from a previous life. They could just be from this life, and we need to deal with this experience in this moment.
Okay, one more question.
I had a woman that was afraid. Yeah.
How do you feel about hell?
You know, again, this was a really, I believed in hell. It controlled my life. It dominated me for a long time, being in fear of hell. I believe that, you know, and that's why I didn't go into this profession for many years, probably 5 years after I got awoken to the calling of this. I didn't go into it because I thought, well, half these people are probably in hell, so there's no way I can connect to them, so why bother? I don't want to take their money. When my first year doing, yeah, I really believed that 100%, that people were in hell and they were suffering forever and ever in a lake of fire, and I believe 100%. Because I still love and I still pray to and love Jesus Christ, and I believe that all the scriptures were translated perfectly, correctly. This is how it is. Until I started getting suicide victims coming through, and until I started getting overdose victims coming through, and until I started getting people that died drinking behind the wheel, and I'm like, you know, these people made one or two bad decisions. Yeah, they're not bad people, and they were once children. They were once pure and innocent, and throughout life, different things in their life challenge them through abuse or whatever to bad decisions, but that God was unconditionally loving and merciful. And I did see that there is a type of hell, and yes, it does exist, but the shocking, and I mean, this was like earth shattering to me when I found this out about 2014, I had done a session for a person and I couldn't connect. For a while, it was, she had came to see me for her mother, and her mother had just passed of cancer. And during the session, her father's energy came through, and I said, oh, your father's joining us for the reading. And she said, I don't want to talk to him. And I'm like, oh boy, this is awkward.
Yeah.
What do I do? I go, the mother was, yeah, this is like a weird, uncommon family reunion that this client did not want to have. Well, I didn't want to start telling the Spirit, go away, just go away. She doesn't want to talk to you. And I didn't want to be disrespectful because the Holy Spirit never allows anybody in the reading that's not supposed to be there.
Oh.
I've never had a demonic or negative energy or anything come through in a reading ever, ever. So I said, yeah, a lot. I've just never happened. So I thought, well, the man was, to me, he seemed very well behaved and everything, and his energy was good. And the wife had allowed him to come into the reading, so there must have been something he needed to say. Turned out, to make the long story short, he had died 19 years previously, and he said, "I just now got out."
Of
and
hell?
I'm thinking, what is he talking about? That's why I didn't know either. I was like, "What do you mean? I just got out?" He says, "I just got finished with my term." And I was just listening to this conversation between the wife and him. I wasn't telling the client everything I was listening to. I was just watching and listening to the conversation. And the wife says, well, you deserved it. And he goes, yes, I did. And I'm glad I served it. But I'm only here for a moment. I have to tell her I'm sorry. So the mom tells me, tell her she needs to listen to something. It's from me and it's from her dad. Tell her I'm allowing him to come in. So I tell her. Same thing, I relay what exactly she said to me, and the woman goes, okay, fine, just let's get it over with. She's very impatient with me And I'm thinking, don't be mad at me. Listen, I'm the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah.
So the man comes in, and I said, okay, go ahead and come forward. So the man comes in, this kind of like a waiting room is how I hold my clients. And I, on the other side, they sit in kind of a waiting room area to talk to me. And I'm here on my side listening to them. And he says, I need to tell her I'm sorry about that day. It should have never happened. And the minute I said that, she covers her mouth and she starts to like almost scream, cry. Here we go again. Really painful reaction from her. And she goes, how can he talk to me? He should be in hell. And I told, and as soon as she said it, he goes, I was. I've been there for 17 years.
So it's kind
of
like
a prison. And the man told me, it was actually hell for him. He had,
yeah,
his wife and him were divorcing, and he was a very fall-down alcoholic. The wife had ran off with another man, and the daughter had decided that she was leaving him when she was like 17 or right about 17 years old, that she didn't want her father in her life. She told her father that he was like a loser, and she was glad that the mother had left and that the new guy was a better, you know, she was just lashing out at her father. The father got drunk, and he sexually assaulted his own daughter when she was 17.
Oh,
he had never done that before then or after, but he went in there. She was forced to come to a visit for his house. The wife had ran off with the other man, and he sexually assaulted his daughter. He didn't completely, as far as I know, it wasn't completely, it was a big fight that ensued, and he denied all of it, and the daughter never saw him again, and he died by himself of a cirrhosis. And the mom was her best friend, and that's why she didn't want the father to come through. But he wanted to take accountability and say that he had been in hell for the past 17 years. He had to relive that day over and over and over for 17 years. He had to relive the horror of what he did to her as her. So he wasn't himself. He had to be the victim of his own actions, his own words, his own lies. And he had to live through her bulimia. She had anorexia. She had a drug addiction because of this. She had an abortion because of this. So... I told her all these things, and there's no way I could have known them. And she was, like, crying, like, how did you know? I never told anybody I had an abortion. I never told anybody I had anorexia, bulimia. I said, well, your father knew it because he just went through 17 years of hell living your life as you. So he knows everything you went through because he had no compassion. He was so selfish and egotistical that when he was alive, the only person he cared about was himself. But when he died or transitioned, he had to go through his life review and having to watch what he did to you in front of the angels, the guides, Son of God, whatever. However, I don't know about how that part works. They've never shown me the throne room of God. I don't know that. I know it only from scripture, but not from reality. He said that in that life review, he told them that at that point he had to stop the life review. He couldn't take anymore, so they took him to another area, and he had to live through that same part for 17 years. There's no time over there, but it equated to 17 years here.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have to, he couldn't get compassion. He couldn't get compassion.
Oh, I heard it before.
You have to have, like, you have to be purified and suffer. So the only way to ever be pure is to suffer, and you have to suffer not for what others have done, but for you, what you yourself have done, and never forgiven yourself and never got forgiveness from that person. So to say that he had been in this for 17 years was so crazy to me, and the daughter said, all he wants to say to you is that he's sorry, you never deserved this, and I take full responsibility for everything I did to ruin your life. And
yeah,
it was like, yeah, this woman never thought she would hear this from her father. She never thought it because he died. They never spoke again after that day. That she's still one of my friends, and she called me probably 4 years ago and go, you changed my life. I had so much hate in my heart for him. I had so much hate, and now I know that I don't want to live through my life review in hatred. I want to live a happy life review knowing that I did my best, that I stood in the light, that I transmuted this, and I don't have to relive that part either. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's very cool that you give them the details because that makes them more of a believer, because how would you know? So giving these extra,
you know, I never do. Yeah, I never know if someone books a reading with me or a session. Rather, I don't read cards, so I do session work. I don't ever know when they book a session, whether they're a skeptic or not, whether they're a believer or not, whether they're here for their life, whether they're here for a mediumship, whether – I never know why they come to me in advance, really. I just – start the session and say a prayer. And I ask them, I do ask them at the beginning, do you have anybody you'd like to connect or questions that you'd like to have answered from your spirit team? And, you know, I just don't do random readings. A lot of people do randoms. I don't, because to me, I work it just like I did in my medical profession. When you come to me, you're coming with a complaint. So I try to take the chief complaint, and then we do the diagnostic spiritually, and we give them the prescription to go home. You know, here you go.
Off as a doctor.
Just like
as
a doctor,
doctor,
yeah. I try to
do
it just like I did it.
Oh, I think that this is all great. Every time I hear you speak about all of this, I learn so much more, and I get little tips, because now that I'm really, really focusing and trying to do this, magnetize my dreams, it really helps. And thank you. I will take you up on your offer, because I need more of a detailed help, because, you know, sometimes I won't write in the journal, and you're supposed to every day. But
I do the meditation
and the mirror work every day. I must say I have been doing that every day, like clockwork.
Now, Sunshine, would you like to take a call now?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Lindy, you are live on the air with Sunshine Frost, Christian Clairvoyant, and Medium.
Hello, Sunshine. What a beautiful soul you are.
Thanks for waiting.
Is this Wendy?
Oh, God. My name is Wendy from Rancho Cordova, Sunshine, and I'm almost 73. And in March, my doctor wrote two letters stating, for medical necessity and safety reasons, I need to immediately move to have that, because I'm at risk of hazard of fall hazard, et cetera. I approached management where I live in my apartment, and they basically laughed at me, and they said, no, you need an accommodation. Well, this is about ADA, but their version of an accommodation was that I pay for construction to come in and totally remove the tubs I've gotten out and install the new tub, and then they want an equal amount of money in escrow so that when I get ready to move, they would use it to renovate it back. And we're talking $20,000 each time, so we're talking $40,000. Well, I was insulted intellectually by that. And so I'm hoping that the Department of Fair Housing will help me. And I'm actually afraid of the manager, Tiffany. She's not a kind person, and I'm afraid that I hope to God they're not going to try to financially take advantage of me. I've tried to turn in the garage remote because everything was removed, and they said, no, we refuse to accept the remote until the last day of April. So they're really maneuvering, I think, ways to hang on to every cent.
Yeah. So I'm so sorry you're going through that, Wendy. That sounds, I could hear in your voice just the amount of, just the demeanor that this is causing for you, the pain, the suffering, the grief, and you trying to resolve it without any resolution. I could definitely feel your energy. So what's the question? How can I help you, Miss Wendy, come
well,
to some kind of agreement?
My question is, I did buy a house. The street number is 2119, and there was an $18,000 safe step tub installed.
Wait, can you repeat that? Can you repeat that last part? I didn't get that last part. After you say you bought a house.
Right. The street number is 2119, and I did purchase an $18,000 walk-in tub. And I have two doctor notes regarding this. So will Tiffany, the manager, will she tried to tell me that I owe her an enormous amount of money? Is she going to keep my security deposit? Will the Department of Housing step in and help me and protect me?
Okay, so I'm going to repeat what I think you said before I asked for the reading from Spirit, just to make sure I have this correct, okay?
Yes.
You live in an apartment right now where Tiffany is the manager.
Yes.
But you purchased a residence separately, or you're saying you purchased that residence?
I purchased a residence about 5 miles away.
Oh, you broke up. You purchased a residential What?
5 miles away.
You purchased a residence 5 miles away from there.
Yes, that is true.
So you're waiting to move to the other location?
Well, yes. My sister and I hope to be moved out before the last day of this month, and we're hoping that fair housing forces them to give me they demanded that I pay the full month of May because they're saying that even though I'm saying I'm moving for medical necessity and safety, they're saying, no, you need to pay the full month of May because that's when your lease expires.
Yeah. So this woman, first of all, this is a small claims judgment. They're going to do everything to take advantage of you. I knew that from the very beginning of the call. This is not stacked in your favor. This woman does this to every senior and elder person she can. Unfortunately, this is extremely money hungry. There's a lot of complaints against them. This is not a good better business situation. I do believe fair housing will come in to help, but only after this situation has already expired. I don't see them stepping in to help you, and I do see her trying to take your deposit. So I see, to be honest, and I don't like to say that, but this is kind of worst-case scenario across the board. So what I want you to do, prepare for the worst situation financially and continue to send those letters to the Fair Housing Board, hoping that you can maybe retroactively get some reimbursement from them.
Okay. And there was a desk covering the bottom of the wall, and there are cracks at the bottom of the wall. My sister thinks because of settling, my realtor says this happens all the time. So is she just going to go after my security deposit, or is she going to pad
yes.
the bill and try to increase it?
No, I don't think so. She's going to go after the security deposit, but they said prepare for the worst. That's what Spirit told me. Spirit said they've already answered this. They said for you to prepare for the worst financially, prepare for the worst. Hope for the best, but I see that she's going to go after everything that she can. So, again, take pictures and videos of everything. And you can even, if you want to, get a quote from an outside source of how much that would take to fix that. And you might even be better to have it fixed before you move, just because she could absolutely pad that bill and go after you for a security deposit plus whatever additional fees they decide to tack on.
Yeah, well, we did not cause the crack at the bottom of the wall. But
right. But you got to get a letter. So what you said, get a letter from the realtor and get a letter from somebody else saying that might help you as well.
Oh, I'm going to get a letter from somebody or ask for a letter?
I said you yourself should get a letter from your realtor saying that they believe it's settling and from anyone else to prove your case that you are not financially responsible for this debt.
Okay. And the bottom line, I'm not going to lose more than my security deposit, I hope, right?
What they said again is prepare for the worst situation possible, that they could absolutely do that. So just be prepared for the worst case scenario is what your spirit guides have said.
Oh, my God. So it might be more.
I want to say, I want to say something better than that, but I can't. All I can say is what they told me. I don't ever make it up. I don't say less or more. I just say exactly what they said. They said that this woman is vicious.
My realtor is going to take a video of the whole house, and she's going to be present when they inspect it before we turn over the keys. And,
well, great, then you're doing exactly due diligence. Yeah, do the due diligence. I think that's what you need to do. Continue to contact Fair Housing. Continue to let them know that, hey, this is what we've done. And the good thing is hopefully it will just be the deposit. Maybe if she sees that you have these resources that she can't take advantage of you, that might be a real big positive for yourself.
Okay. And should I hire Marco to hang wallpaper in my bedroom? I met him today.
It's usually one question per caller, but I'm not getting anything off of him. That's totally up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any bad energy. Let me put it that way. I don't feel bad energy from him.
Okay. Well, I thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, Miss
Wendy.
Wendy.
Thank you, Wendy. Sunshine Frost, I cannot believe how fast the time goes by when you are here. I thought, we must have 20 minutes left, and we've actually gone over.
Well, yeah,
we've definitely gone over.
You can go longer if you want. It doesn't matter.
Well, it is up to Sunshine Frost, but I also want to make sure we give a shout out to everybody to know where to find you. And I know that so many people try to pretend they are you on TikTok. So I'm going to let you personally give out your handle for that one.
Okay.
So if you
want to
do
that
right now.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, so first of all, go to my YouTube channel, Sunshine Frost at YouTube. That's a great place to find resources, Sunshine Frost on YouTube. Go to my website, sunshinefrost.com. I have an event coming up in Seattle. I have an event coming up in Sedona, Arizona. I have one coming up in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm going to be in New York in September, October of this year. So I'm also going to be on a cruise coming out of Galveston, Texas, going to the Mayan ruins December 8th. You can book onto that. It's a great cruise called Spirit Heart Cruises. Me and Mr. Sunshine will both be there. I'll be doing readings. He'll be doing amazing healings with the feminine divine. But you guys can find that information on my website, sunshinefrost.com, and on TikTok. On my very last page of my website, you can go to sunshinefrost.com, go on to the fourth page, and you'll find my Instagram account, which is Spirit Dr. Sunshine. My TikTok has about 400, it seems like, fake people trying to be me. But you know it's me because one major thing is that I have 145,000 followers, and they have like 10,000 followers. I go live usually, I go live Pacific time, which is me and Barbara's time. We're both in the Pacific time zone. I go live around 9 to 10 p.m. nightly to do live messages. If you want to get a paid mediumship, they're $50, which is incredibly inexpensive. You can get a five-minute reading to make sure that I can connect to your loved ones before you book a big session. And, yes, you guys can just reach out to me there and find out my events, and you can meet me at some of the events. Or if you want to book a private reading, you can do so on my calendar. You don't have to call me. It's all automated. It's really easy. You just book your time, your spot, and then you'll do a Zoom call with me wherever you're at in the world. And guess what? It's just as accurate as being right there in person.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm so excited you're going to Seattle, my hometown. I'm sure Robin would be interested, my girlfriend. My other beautiful, tall, blonde girlfriend, 6 foot tall girlfriend. She's the one who signed me up for this course with her. She's all in for this.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And she's there.
Beautiful.
So I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find the dates for Seattle, and I'm going to tell her about those. So, great. You have so much energy. Have you always had this much energy, or is this from the universe giving it to you so you can help people?
Both. I'm a naturally bubbly Pisces personality, but I think that as you learn to discipline your energy, and I don't get down by things. I had a near-death experience that changed me so much. I talked about that on, like, maybe 5 podcasts ago. I had a near-death experience that just changed my outlook on things. And, you know, there's really nothing to be that upset about. Everything here is temporary. Everything here is transient. Everything here needs to remain unattached and just stay in the joy of life. Stay in the goodness.
Yeah.
Stay in the light. Stay in the positiveness.
I was just going to say that. Sorry, Sunshine. But I was just going to say, just why not enjoy it? It's like a level. You know, I think going to heaven is a level up, so it's a good thing.
It's definitely a level up, and we're the level down, but we can bring heaven on earth just by being who we are and how we look at things.
That's wonderful. Well, I loved this show. I learned so much, like I said, all the time, and thank you so much for your offers, and I just feel your light.
Thank you, Ms. Barb.
I feel your light
right now.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you, Jonathan, for calling me.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys. I love you. You know you're my first podcast to give me that break, and I'm really grateful. And no matter what, I'll continue to help, you know, support Jonathan's channel and the Roku Nation and everything that's going
on
with Barbara.
She's on a Roku.
Congratulations. Yes.
The Awakened
Thank you so much. I host.
Awakened.
Yeah, I host a show called Spirit Uncensored. It kind of keeps blowing up. Spirit Uncensored. We never know. It's just literally live readings. It could be, you never know what's going to come through. It's like the Jerry Springer of the spirit world. I never know. People come on, they're like, is my boyfriend cheating with my ex? You know, it's just crazy what comes on my show. I love it, though. I enjoy it. I get such a kick. It makes me laugh. but it's a great show. It's called Spirit Uncensored. We do it every night. I do it 4 nights a week at 9 o'clock. So come on the show and we talk about like, what's your biggest ghost story? How do you know spirit is there? Have you ever had an angel save you? Have you ever seen aliens? We never know what's going to come through, but it's really a fun show.
Well, I see you live sometimes. I see you live sometimes and I almost join, but then I'm like, oh, I kind of am too shy because, you know, I don't know if I
just
join.
I won't call you out. I won't call you out. Yeah, I won't call you out. I'll just be like, hey, Ms. Barb, that's it. I won't call you out. You guys could just, you can always voyeur. You can always just sit and watch. It's okay.
Yeah. Is this live on TikTok, this show, Spirit Uncensored?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and you're going to be there tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time?
Yes. I will be.
Okay.
And we're going to have an amazing show. So you should come and everybody should come and listen. And I love you guys and I hope you have a wonderful night. And thank you for letting me be on. And hopefully I'll be on in a couple more weeks or so. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're always welcome to come on, of course. We love you, too. Thank you so much, Sunshine, Frost. And
all right, guys. Have a wonderful night.
Keep on doing what you're doing. All right.
Yes, ma'am. Be the expression of God's love in the world. Bye, everyone. Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Good night, everybody, and thank you for listening. Thank you, Johnny. See you tomorrow.